All right, thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. So glad to be here. So glad to see you. So today we're going to read a passage from the book of Hebrew. Yeah, that's a book in the New Testament. So if you have your Bible with you, feel free to open it up. We're going to start from Hebrew chapter 1. And we're just going to read a couple of verses actually from Hebrew chapter 1. So today and for the next few weeks, actually, we're going to talk about this fact, about this truth, that this reality that our God speaks. He speaks. Our God speaks. From the creations of the world to the completions at the end, we can see that He speaks. From Genesis, the beginning, until the climax in Revelations, if you read your Bible, you will always see that He is a God who speaks. You know, when I'm a parent of two young children, and when you have a child, you for some reason you always want to talk with them. You always want to talk to her, even your child is still a baby. Parents talk to their newborn, even though they know by fact that their newborn will not be able to understand them. You know, for some reason, when you talk to a baby, you will try to make it cute. You'll try to make it a little gibberish. You will try to make it into a baby talk. For some reason, we think if we talk like a baby, they will understand. But of course, most of you know, no matter how cute you talk, no matter how baby talk you can talk, they will not be able to understand you. Why? Why do we go to such great extent to talk, to communicate to someone who cannot understand us? And I guess the reason is all because of love. Because the parents love her so much, because I love my child so much, that I want to communicate with her, that I want to tell her every single day that I love her. I guess it's the same way, you know. It's the same way God loves us and longs to communicate with us. Communications build relationships, and there is no relationship without communications. So our God speaks. He speaks. Okay, so now let's go to our passage today. From Hebrew chapter 1, verse 1. In the past, God spoke to our ancestor through the prophets at many times in various ways. So in the past, God spoke to our ancestor through the prophets at many times in various ways. So before, a long time ago, or in the time of the Old Testament, God spoke through the prophets. When sin entered this world, the relationship between God and human being was broken. Because sin entered humanity, the harmonious relationship between God and human being was no longer exist. It used to be the case where God and human being can walk side by side, talking to each other. You know, it used to be the case where, you know, they just, God and human being can just communicate to each other. There's such a close communications. There's such a close relationship between them. But when sin entered humanity, that relationship, that communications, that direct communication was no longer possible. But because God loves us, He still wants to communicate with us. That's why in the Old Testament, God spoke to His children through a prophet. Since the direct line is no longer there, so God used a prophet, God used a medium to still communicate with us. That is the prophet. Moses and Aaron were used by God to deliver His message to the people of Israel. Moses and Aaron were used by God to kind of take the people of Israel out of Egypt and lead them to the promised land. Jeremiah was another prophet, was used by God to deliver the message of judgment to the people of Israel. God gave a message to Eli through a different prophet, Prophet Samuel. So you'll find a lot of different examples in the Old Testament. You'll find it very easily that indeed God speaks to people, to a nation, to a family, to different people through the prophet. But even though there are a lot of messages, even though the details, the time, and so on and so forth is different between all those prophets, but actually, if you see it from the big picture, the ultimate message the central message is always the same. Before, God spoke in bits and pieces through different prophets at different times and different locations. The detail of the message might be different between different prophets, but the ultimate message is always the same. They were all talk about God and the great salvations that will be brought by the great Messiah. Like the butterfly in this mosaic picture, each prophet only described a certain portion, a certain parts of the picture. Some of the prophets may be describing the eyes, the wings, the color of the butterfly, but they are all referring to the same butterfly. The big picture is the butterfly. As time goes, if we put the pieces together, the messages that God gave to these different prophets in the Old Testament, if you put all the pieces together, as the picture is complete, the big picture we can see is always talk about God and the great salvations that the Messiah will bring. The picture is about God and the great salvations that the Messiah will bring. And the Messiah is Jesus Christ. The little pieces, the different message that the prophet received, the big picture is always pointing to Jesus Christ. There are hundreds of prophecies in the Old Testament about the great Messiah that would come, and Jesus fulfill them all. Church, our God speaks. He always speaks. In the Old Testament, He speaks to the prophets. But if we read through Hebrew chapter 1, we continue on. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom also He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representations of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful words. After He had provided purification of sin, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. But in this last day, He has spoken to us by His Son. In this last day, He has spoken to us by His Son. Even the old times, in the long time ago, in the old days, He spoke to the prophets. Now, today is part of the last days. God spoke to us through His Son. God revealed Himself through His Son. God speaks. He always speaks. And He speaks through His Son. Let's spend some time a little bit more on this passage. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful words. After He had provided purifications of sin, He sat down at the right hand of God, right hand of the Majesty in heaven. Radiance of God's glory and the exact representations of His being. Jesus radiates the glory of God. He is the representation of God. Not just a standard representation, not just some kind of imitations, but He is the exact representations. John 14, verse 9, anyone who has seen the Father has seen me. Don't you believe that I am the Father are one, and the Father is in me? John 10, verse 30, I and the Father are one. Church, God speaks. He speaks. God spoke through the prophet in the past to convey who He is. The prophets talk about the great Messiah, the great Redeemer. The prophets talk at different times, different locations, but ultimately all of them talks about Jesus. The radiance of God's glory, the exact representations of God. So if you want to know God, look at Jesus. If you want to know, if you want to have a deeper relationship with God, get to know Jesus. Because if He is the exact representation of God, when you read that Jesus embraced little children, that means God loves little children. Once again, He is the exact representation of God. He is God. When you read that Jesus showed compassion toward the minority, when you read that Jesus showed compassion to those are forgotten, to those that has a low social status, that means God loves and will show compassion to those who are suffering, to those who are forgotten, to those who have a low social status. Once again, Jesus is the exact representations of God. Jesus is God. When you read that Jesus wept with those who suffered tragedy and loss, that means our God. Our God is not absent in our tragedy, God does not close His eyes when we suffer, when a disaster happens. Just like Jesus wept, God also wept together with us and walking beside us in the midst of our tragedy. He is the exact representations of God. He is God. So if you want to know who God is, get to know who Jesus is. God speaks through His Son. Means that Jesus' word is God's word. Meaning that Jesus' teaching is God's teaching. Meaning that Jesus' spoken word is God's spoken word. There are a lot of things that Jesus says. He said that He is God. He said He is the way to the heaven. He said He is a good shepherd. He said He is a light of the world. He said He is the only way to heaven. His spoken word, Jesus' spoken word, is God's spoken word. Church, He speaks. God speaks. And He speaks through us, through His Son. That also means that the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. Sustaining all things by His powerful word. Jesus' word is God's word. God's word is not some kind of, I don't know, white noise, noise pollution, or something that's happening, distracting in the background. His word is powerful. In Isaiah 55 says that, so is my word, God's word that goes out from my mouth, God's mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. His word is powerful. His word is purposeful. I like the way the author of Hebrew put it. Sustaining all things by His powerful word. Church, His word is powerful. Do you know that God created this world? He created this world, this universe, using His word. Through His word, demon was cast out. Through His word, people were healed. Through His word, Lazarus was resurrected. Through His word, the stormy sea was calmed down. His word is powerful. His word is powerful. It created us. It can resurrect us. It can transform us. It can change us. His word is powerful. In Psalms chapter 19, it says this, the law of the Lord is perfect, is refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making the wise simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. Church, His word is perfect. It is right. It is trustworthy. It refreshes the soul. It gives joy and gives light to the eyes. If His word is so perfect, if His word is so trustworthy, if His word is so right, why don't we go to His word more often when we need wisdom, when we need guidance? If His word is so refreshing to the soul and giving joy to the heart, why don't we go to His word more often when our soul is downcasted, when our soul is down? Church, His word is powerful. His word is perfect. His word is trustworthy. His word can refresh your soul. His word is powerful. Church, He speaks. Our God speaks. And His word can change your life. There's this, an article from a magazine, The Economist, from back in February 14, 2018. The article is not about Valentine's Day, but the article is about the title of the article is prophets and how the article described how South Korea, a nation with majority of evangelical Christians and devout Buddhists, will soon be a country with $3.7 billion worth of fortune-telling business. $3.7 billion worth of fortune-telling business. In the country, there are about 300,000 fortune tellers, about 150,000 shamans in the country. And many people visit them during December and February to see what's await for them in the coming year. Students go with a list of potential employers to determine which one will hire them. Businessmen go to the fortune teller to ask the perfect date to launch their business. New parents visit the fortune tellers to figure out what is the perfect name for their new baby. Couple ask and check their compatibility before marriage. And then as they go to the fortune teller, if the result is considered bad or not that good, then the fortune teller will tell them, in order to mitigate this bad luck, you can buy charms. You can do certain things, you know, take a shower 5 times a day or something like that. Take up a religion or give up a religion. Stop eating certain things or start eating something. Get a tattoo or not to get a tattoo. In other words, there's always ways to get out from this bad luck. And then lastly, to attract young generations, one software company has launched multiple fortune-telling apps in the past 5 years. The most popular app has been downloaded over 3 million times. All applications are ready to send daily notifications every morning on what fortunes await user for the day. 3.7 billion worth of fortune-telling business. Fear. Fear is one of the greatest salesmen of all time. Fear is one of the greatest salesmen of all time. By instilling fear, you can make a person buy something, do something, or abstain from something. I use fear to try to control my child's behavior. If she about to eat something bad, I'll say, "Hep, put it down," and then she'll put it down. If she about to do something bad, I'll do, "Hep," and she'll put it down. Fear is the greatest salesman of all time. You can make a person buy something, do something, or abstain from something. Despite the social economic status of the people in South Korea, both the successful, the not so successful businessmen, the high educated and the so not high educated, all of them cannot predict what's going to happen tomorrow. They all have fears of the future. They all have fear of the unknown. In order to eliminate that fear, they go to fortune tellers, they buy charms, they go to shamans. But do they really get what they're looking for? Do they achieve the peace they're longing for? Do they get that sense of security they're so longing for? I don't think so. I don't believe so. Regardless where you go, regardless what you do, it is impossible to find that certainty. Regardless of where you go, regardless what you do, there will always be the unknown. You can go to the best fortune teller in the world. You can get the most expensive charm that a man ever made. But trust me, nothing can give you that assurance and certainty and sense of security. People in South Korea use fortune telling to gain that certainty and sense of security. But different people might use different things. Some people use money. Some people use a degree. Some people use something to make sure they receive, they have that sense of security. I guarantee you, no matter what you depend on, nothing can give you that certainty. There's always fear of the unknown. There is a great advancement on science and technology. We have seen many things can be done right now, and previously we thought it's impossible. There are a lot of apps, there's a lot of software, there's a lot of tools that can make our job easier. We don't have to spend as much time as on a certain task as we need to do before. We even see a higher life expectancy compared to before. But despite all that, fear of the unknown still grips us humans. Actually, the trends show otherwise. In recent years, we see more and more people struggling with fear, struggling with stress, struggling with anxiety, struggling with depression. Everyone don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And everyone has some kind of fear of the unknown. So what is the solution for fear? What is the antidote? What is the antidote for fear? The antidote of fear is faith. The antidote of fear is faith. Faith is the substance, the things that we hope for, the evidence of things unseen. In different translation, it says that being sure we'll get what we hope for. Faith is being sure we'll get what we hope for. It is being sure of what we cannot see. Being sure we will get what we hope for. Being sure of what we cannot see. Whether you want to acknowledge it or not, whether you want to admit it or not, everyone has some kind of faith. Whether you want to admit it or not, you have some kind of faith. The difference is where that faith is placed upon. The difference is where that faith is placed upon. Everyone hopes for a bright future. For some, they put their faith on money. So we store as much money as possible, hoping that money will ensure our bright future. Everyone hopes for a bright future. Everyone hopes for a bright future. But for some, they put their faith on a degree. So we make sure we get a high education, a high degree, hoping that a degree will ensure our bright future. For some, they put their faith on their parents. For some reason, somehow, we have an absolute belief that our parents will continuously protect us, supply, prepare a path for us, and ensure our bright future. But my question to you today, why place your faith on created things like money? Why place your faith on something that is temporary and keep changing, like a college degree? You know, in the past, when you graduate high school, you already somebody, but now, not so much. In the past, everyone majored in business and food science, but now, not so much. Now, all people major in computer science, but in 5 years, I don't know, they will be replaced by robots, maybe. Nothing can give you insurance what's going to happen in the future. If you want to push your faith, why not put your faith on something that is eternal? If you want to put your faith, if you want to put your trust, why not place it on something that is powerful, trustworthy, and eternal? Why place your faith on something that is always changing, that is temporary? Why not place your faith on something that is powerful? Why not place our faith on His Word, on His promises? Like the author of Hebrews said, I like it the way they put it, sustaining all things by His powerful word. His word is powerful. His word is purposeful. His word is trustworthy. Why not depend on that? Why don't we spend more time reading His word? Why don't we spend more time memorizing His word? Why don't we spend more time claiming His promises? Remember, His word is powerful, steady, its unmovable anchor that is trustworthy and purposeful. Why not place our faith on that? Church, our God speaks. He speaks. And His word is powerful, His word is purposeful, His word is trustworthy. Our God is speak. Our God is a God who speaks. He speaks. From the old time until right now, He always communicates. And one of the greatest message, once again, that He gave to us is His way of salvation through Jesus Christ. After He had provided purifications for sin. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, because of the purifications of sins on the cross, we can receive the salvation that God has been speaking since the old days. Salvation is more than just having a plentiful material blessing. In this life, salvation is more than just going to heaven when we die. The salvations that God offers allow us to live a life on this earth right now, as well as later on heaven, with meaning and with purpose. Ravi Zacharias is one preacher, one speaker says this: Jesus Christ did not come to make bad people good, but to make that people alive. Once again, Jesus Christ did not come to make bad people good, but actually to make that people alive. Before Jesus came and redeemed us, we are dead in some sense. Yes, we are living. Yes, we are breathing. Yes, we are consuming. But is that life is all about? Is that living is all about? To be living in Jesus means that we are alive spiritually, meaning that we can connect with God. We can have communication with God, meaning that we can have a wonderful relationship with God. Before Jesus came and redeemed us, we are dead in some sense. Yes, we are living. Yes, we are breathing. Yes, we are consuming. But once again, is that life is all about? To be living in Jesus, that means that we are alive with meaning, with purpose, and with directions. You're not just created to come here to spend time, watch internet, eat, and sleep. There's purpose in you, and only Jesus can give you that purpose. Jesus had provided purifications of sin that makes us alive again, because the wages of sin is death. Through your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are as red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Purifications of sin. The purification of sin is not just talking about behavior modification. It's not making bad people good. You know, human laws always try to make bad people good. Human laws always try to restrict or limit certain behaviors for the good of many. But we all know, no matter how many laws we're put in, no matter how many restrictions we put in, people will always try to find a loophole and break the law. No matter how many laws we put in, crime is still committed. No matter how many laws we put in, bad behavior is still there. Because law can only limit the outside. The problem is the inside. We don't need a plastic surgery. We need a major heart surgery. We need a major heart transplant. We need a major heart transformations. And only Jesus can do that. Jesus is not some kind of a plastic surgeon to make sure that you look good on the outside. He doesn't work from the outside in, but he works from the inside out. And that's what matters the most. It doesn't matter if I tell my child, you cannot do this, you cannot do that, you cannot do this, you cannot do that. Until he changes from the inside, he will still keep doing what I told him not to do. Jesus, his word is powerful and it can transform your life. God speaks. Our church, our God speaks. He speaks. And through the purification of sin done by Jesus, we can now again be in close relationship, communicating with God and transform and have a transformed life because of the power of his word. Church, our God speaks. He speaks. From the old time up until now, from the time of the Old Testament until today, he always speaks. In the Old Testament, he speaks through his prophets. He gave messages, he gave warnings, he gave encouragement, he gave directions to his people through the prophets. But the ultimate message is always the same. The big picture message is always the same. It's always about God, and it's always about the great salvations that will be brought by Jesus Christ, the great Messiah. Today, we have the privilege to see the fulfillment of that Old Testament message. We have the honor to experience that great salvation that God promised to his people. Today is the day. Today is the day we can experience that great plan of salvation. Church, God speaks. He speaks. The author of Hebrews said that the Son, Jesus Christ, the exact representation of God, means if you want to know God, you need to look at Jesus. If you want to know God's teaching, look at Jesus' teaching. If you want to know God's glory, look at the life of Jesus. If you want to hear God's voice, read what Jesus said in the Bible. Jesus is the radiance of God's glory. He is the exact representation of God. Jesus' spoken word is God's spoken word. Church, God speaks. He speaks. The author of Hebrews also said that His word, Jesus' word, sustain all things. His word is powerful. His word is eternal. His word is transforming. So, rather than putting your faith on created things, on temporary things, something that keep changing, I invite you today to put your faith, your trust on something that is powerful, on something that is eternal, on something that is transforming. I invite you to put your faith on His word. I invite you to read His word. I invite you to get to know His word. Place your faith on His word and experience how it can change your life. Church, our God speaks. He speaks. And lastly, I want to say He's been communicating His great plan of salvation to all of us. That salvation is through Jesus Christ. Jesus had provided purifications of sin. We are redeemed, we are made right, not because of what we do, but because of what Jesus did. Can I have the musicians to come forward and help me to close? Today, as I close, I just want to invite you to start embarking and walking in this great plan of salvation in Jesus Christ. The Bible said that everyone has sinned and falls short of the glory of God. No one is perfect. Everyone made mistakes. Everyone committed sin. I don't care whether it's in the past, last week, last year, or 5 minutes ago. We all fall short. And that sin hinders us from having that constant communications, that close relationship with God. The first step to walk in this plan of salvation is to acknowledge that we fall short, that we are simply not good enough. But because God so loved the world, He loved human beings, He loved us so much that He sent His Son. So whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The second step that I want to invite you to walk how to walk in this great plan of salvation is to acknowledge that our effort will never be enough to qualify us, to enable us to walk in this great plan of salvation. Only by putting our faith in Jesus alone, only by putting our faith in the perfect work of Jesus Christ, we can walk in this great plan of salvation. Because for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourself, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And I guess the last step that I wanna share with you today is to keep depending on Him and to keep putting our trust and our faith in Him. A lot of times, as time goes, as we become seasoned Christians, we forget that it is never about us. Sometimes we forget that it is never about our work. Sometimes as we become a seasoned Christians, we start depending on our self-control, self-discipline, our effort to keep walking on this great plan of salvation. We tend to forget that He's not just the door of salvation, but He also the shepherd in our salvation. So church, I invite you to keep putting your trust in Him, to keep your faith in Him, and to keep walking in Him and with Him. Church, He speaks. Our God speaks. And He will continue to guide you. He will keep continue to communicate with you in His great plan of salvation. I invite everybody to stand up as we close our service. Let's worship Him one last time.